Big Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yep.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Wednesday, October 4th, 2023. Beware the national emergency system test. The test. This is only a test, except when it's not. What should be happening later today? Like I said yesterday, I think we should all just go fishing. Maybe we should all go play golf or sit down, turn our stuff off, and play cards. But we're encouraged to believe that that would be a dereliction of our duty as good, you know, upstanding Americans. How dare you even suggest a thing? How did we ever survive without these things? Without the crowd beast in our midst, how would we survive? How would we be menaced by an endless series of hobgoblins, as H.L. Mencken would say? So in the first hour, beginning of the first hour, I mentioned that I intended to talk about two things today, the crowd beast being number one, and two, firearms. And there is sort of a nexus, and I mentioned somewhere along the way that in through the first hour that the story of the Dallas Police Department shootout with 55-year-old Michael Shirley, who looks like a Batman villain, looks like the Joker, has undergone this transformation over the last 20 years to literally look like the Joker in Batman. So I'm thinking, you know, are we watching The Dark Knight Rises? What are we watching? The nexus point was these officers, you know, this lady doing a mag dump of her service weapon, something, you know, basically 15 rounds into the back of this vehicle that, surprise, guess what? There's a lady handcuffed to a seatbelt in this vehicle. And that's the direction that she's firing. And so, you know, it literally is a shoot first, ask questions later sort of a scenario. But you know what? The officer was in danger. She was in fear for her life. Well, I'm sure the poor lady handcuffed to the seatbelt was probably in fear for her life too. And the point was, this is the trend. This is the direction these things are going and have been for a number of years. Gave a little background in the first hour, which is not new or news to anyone who listens to this network or has listened to this broadcast in a number of, you know, for however many years. And I will just say, and lest someone, you know, come draw the wrong conclusion or whatever, am I saying that all law enforcement is bad? Absolutely not. Remember in the early days of COVID, for example, the COVID shenanigans, when Port of Seattle Police Officer Greg Anderson said, guys, hold on, let's not be doing this kind of stuff. That went viral. Speaking of viral, that went viral and then was quickly deleted. You'd probably be hard pressed to find his video in his squad car these days. Similarly, Officer Michael Cini had remarks to the same effect. Those guys were saying, hey, we're not supposed to do this. Standing apart from the crowd beast, courageously, I would add. And I was one of the people who said these guys should be supported. The community should stand behind these kinds of guys and say, we are with you. Absolutely. 100%. I wrote a couple of articles speaking of the crowd beast and COVID. There was We Are All Cats. We're All Cats Now. I wrote back in October of 2021. And then the follow-up to that was Full Circle. COVID-19 Full Circle. And those, I think, go together. I also wrote a COVID Q&A and a COVID-19 39 in the early days of the COVID shenanigans. But in the COVID-19 Full Circle piece, published November 21, 2021, it has that image of Biderman and Zimmer's The Manipulation of Human Behavior and the marionette, you know, the man as a fractured, broken marionette. And Gustave Le Bon's quote, "The masses have never thirsted after truth. Whoever can supply them with illusions is easily their master. Whoever attempts to destroy their illusions is always their victim." Similarly, we should throw in, when we talk about the herd beast and Le Bon, from Opinions and Beliefs in 1911, Le Bon wrote, "An individual in a crowd is a grain of sand amid other grains of sand, which the wind stirs up at will." And I always think, when I hear "which the wind stirs up at will," who is the prince of the power of the air? What does the Bible say about the prince of the power of the air? And for that matter, we're encouraged to go wireless. Everything's going wireless. More and more people are suffering from tinnitus. What an amazing coincidence. And speaking of the tabula rasa, apparently tinnitus has a correlation to memory loss. Again, what a coincidence. And so we have these things increasingly going out over the airwaves, whether you like it or not. All of these negative side effects, but don't worry about that. When we think about Le Bon, again, and the crowd beast, Le Bon wrote in Opinions and Beliefs, he also wrote, "One of the most constant characteristics of beliefs is their intolerance." And so you think of what Matthias de Smet said about mass formation, free-floating anxiety, and all of a sudden, you know, this thing starts to take hold of people in numbers. And like guys like Le Bon and Trotter wrote, you don't have to be in the same place to be part of the same herd beast. And so when someone like a Greg Anderson or a Michael Cini is courageous enough to say, "Guys, this is not our job. We should not do these things." So when your department says do this, and you know it's wrong, and you've been in war-torn places where you see how quickly this can turn really bad, really fast, and you know it's wrong, don't do it. When that happens, and the crowd beast is starting to come to life, and, you know, this calls to mind so many other things, the morbid obsession our culture seems to have with Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, why we have to watch Theosophist L. Frank Baum's Wizard of Oz every year, and this kind of nonsense. When the crowd beast starts to come to life, then, you know, speaking of Le Bon, the rest of the quote is, "One of the most constant characteristics of belief is their intolerance. The stronger the belief, the greater its intolerance. Men dominated by a certitude or a certainty," which reminds me of the conversation with John in Tennessee, and talking to people who say there is no absolute truth, and he used to like to joke, you know, "Are you absolutely certain?" "Men dominated by a certitude or a certainty cannot tolerate those who do not accept it." So officers like Greg Anderson and Michael Cini, who are courageous enough to say, "Don't do this." The crowd beast says, "Seize him! Crucify him!" People get swept up in that, you know, and you hear Jesus from the cross saying, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." I feel like the crowd beast is in view here. But, you know, speaking of Blackwater and that whole story and the backstory to the stuff that I was talking about in the first hour, apparently business is good. From Wikipedia, Academy, formerly known as Blackwater, is an American private military contractor founded on December 26, 1996 by former Navy SEAL Officer Eric Prince. It was renamed to Z Services in 2009. Why did they have to rename it? And again renamed to Academy in 2011. Why did they have to rename it again? After it was acquired by a group of private investors. Why was it acquired? Did you really want to get rid of it? No, it was because of the controversy, that's why. In 2014, Academy merged with Triple Canopy to form Constellus Holdings. And, you know, that's a whole dive of its own. What exactly does Constellus do? What do they make? Do they make widgets? In an ever-changing and complex world, security concerns are paramount. Enhanced security. Remember Blackwater in New Orleans after Katrina? Enhanced security requires education, training, and specialized skills. Constellus provides end-to-end risk management and comprehensive security solutions to safeguard people and infrastructure globally. It sounds like all of those awful dystopian books and, you know, become movies of the 80s and 90s. It's crazy. Let's see. Constellus was formed in 2010. This is from their website. To combine best-in-class brands, assets, and people with the complex risk management industry within. Over the years, since our global team of industry leaders has grown to include Academy, AMK9, Centera, Edinburgh International, Greg Protection Services, Olive Group, Omniplex, Strategic, Social, and Triple Canopy. Today, Constellus is the largest and most diverse non-financial risk management company in the United States, offering turnkey solutions to address our customers' most complex challenges wherever they are needed around the world. And as I have said before, I mean, all of that gobbledygook, does it really, what does it say? Because I'm not sure it actually says anything, which reminds me of Orwell, Politics in the English Language, and the inflated style itself is a kind of euphemism. A mass of Latin words falls upon the facts like soft snow, blurring the outline and covering up all the details. The great enemy of clear language is insincerity. When there is a gap between one's real and one's declared aims, one turns, as it were, instinctively to long words and exhausted idioms, like a cuttlefish spurting out ink. So he's saying basically we should get entirely away from this kind of language. Turnkey solutions, most complex challenges, complex risk management industry, best in class brands, assets, people. It's just a big old dump of that kind of language. It's a big old steaming pile of the inflated style, as Orwell put it, Eric Arthur Blair. The inflated style is itself a kind of euphemism. So euphemistically sort of sanitizing and laundering every evil under the sun, essentially. All right, enough about that. The crowd beast. Let's get specific. With the whole conversation, you know, as things sort of turned yesterday based on Patricia's question, you know, do you know anything about tomorrow, meaning today? And I said, you probably mean the National Emergency Broadcast System test, right? I started thinking about the crowd beast kind of deal, especially look what's happened over the last 3 years or so. And you still see people just, it's like we're in some kind of a war-torn place. It's like we're in Baghdad or Fallujah or someplace like that. But it's not a kinetic deal. It's very psychological. It's very liminal. And the fallout of that and the evidence is people walking around with masks on here and there. But, you know, they don't know exactly why. If you ask them, they can't give you a clear answer that makes sense. But they're doing it. And you see in places across the country, people being arrested, you know, maybe for not wearing a mask or something at some kind of public function. But the officers that show up, some of them have masks on, some of, you know, including officers that have masks pulled down on their chin. And, you know, this is, and no evidence that any of this is healthy at all or helps in any way that has been purported. Speaking of how wild and dystopic, before we get to the crowd beast, was it yesterday that I mentioned, or was it 2 days ago that I mentioned the Nobel Prize in Medicine awarded to Catalin Curico and Drew Weissman for their work on the mRNA COVID stuff? I still remember Peter Hotez in Congress early on in the COVID shenanigans saying, hold on, there was a reason we didn't do this back in the 70s. And the research was shut down because it was killing everything, people, animals, all the test subjects were dying largely. So we shut it down. But then he said in Congress, in his congressional testimony, but the Gates Foundation picked up that research. So these two were awarded the Nobel Prize in Medicine for their work on mRNA-based COVID vaccines. And at the same time, I just wrote a piece, the most recent thing that I've written, July 8, 2023, titled Fact, COVID-19 mRNA Vaccines, a Leading Cause of Death. And it's not a, I wrote it that way so that people could share it on social media. It's the leading cause. The fact is, there's, as I wrote in the piece, you know, we now have, well, let me back up. It says, according to autopsy data review led by some of America's, nay, the world's leading experts, we now have conclusive documented proof COVID-19 mRNA vaccines are the overwhelming cause of otherwise unexplainable deaths. So there's the myocarditis issue. There's the turbo cancer issue. There's all this other stuff. Yet you got people. I mean, we're still having a conversation about this stuff. This is insane. The VAERS data is literally off the charts. It's just, you know, talk about a hockey stick curve. How are we still having this conversation? How are people not being brought up on charges of genocide? It's insane what is happening. Talk about the crowd beast. Speaking of the crowd beast, my goodness. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Keep out, Otsman. says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQRS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, I don't.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraine, Ltd. at Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
All right, welcome back. All right, before we get to the crowd beast, a couple of things. And then on to firearms, but not in the, you know, typical fashion. So there was a video, I started thinking about this yesterday, the isolated individual on the crowd beast. This was a True Stream Media video published July 9, 2020. So in the fairly early moments of the COVID shenanigans, and that's, we want to play a clip from that. I want to play the whole thing, actually. It's 32 minutes and change, 32 and a half minutes long. But we'll play a clip in the next segment here. For sure, want to do that in relation to the crowd beast. And we obviously won't play the whole thing today. But if you're not familiar, I would encourage you to watch it. The Isolated Individual and the Crowd Beast. So I was thinking about that yesterday. We will play a clip in the next segment. But before we do that, and then we'll talk about guns. Speaking of guns, you should give credit where credit is due. And Reason Magazine published a great article titled, I think it's California 10-Round Mag Limit, Unconstitutional. And, you know, regarding the decision by District Judge Roger Benitez, and, you know, from the article, they quoted him. There is no, his ruling there is no American tradition of limiting ammunition capacity. But again, we get lost in the details of this discussion. The Dick Act replaced the militia effectively with the National Guard. That's the short version of that discussion. That's why, you know, when people like Chuck Schumer want to say, or, you know, whomever, people want to say you don't need that many rounds for hunting. Most hunters don't hunt with 5.56 or 7.62. That's ridiculous. Those are not hunting rounds, obviously. Well, they're not hunting rounds for dinner. Maybe that's indiscreet. I don't think so, but you know, maybe that's too crass. Anyway, Benitez said there is no American tradition of limiting ammunition capacity, calling the state's cap arbitrary, capricious, and extreme. And, you know, I appreciated the Reason magazine coverage of that. I think they did a great job with the article. For posterity's sake, the point of gun control, as it's, you know, that's a disingenuous term, by the way. The point of it is, in accordance with all the aforementioned, to disarm the general populace. You know, we got to make the herd beast crazy and then, you know, say that you can't trust people with guns except, you know, those who should officially have them. So I think of Jefferson, you know, have we found angels in the form of kings to, you know, as rulers? Give me a break. We're all people. To disarm the general populace, to make people helpless, forcing them to hug their kidnapper in greater and greater degrees. Incidentally, you know, as some have humorously observed, good gun control is buying only one when you really want two, three, four, maybe five. That's good gun control. Or, you know, the right placement of your trigger finger, or maybe the correct placement of your support hand, the correct position of your support thumb, et cetera, et cetera. Gun control is a disingenuous moniker, but we'll get into firearms. I think, you know, I really want to talk about the subject of firearms. Maybe we'll do that more at length later, but not in the typical fashion. Hint too much at this, but, you know, just say this, I guess. You know, and speaking of the crowd beast, Theodore Roosevelt observed, to educate a man in mind and not in morals is to educate a menace to society. Is that what we're doing with this new religion, scientism? Romans chapter 1, for though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but became foolish in their speculations. Is it known as futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened? Professing to be wise, they became fools. That's what we do in America these days. We educate a man in mind and not in morals, which is to educate a menace to society, according to Teddy Roosevelt. And the more you do that, what do you suppose will happen eventually? And then when you're trying to shut down local police forces, what is the critical end of all of that? What happens? Someone do something. Someone save us. And then, you know, someone has to emerge on the scene to say, I can do it. But, you know, as Hayek observed, that is the authoritarian, totalitarian figure, the ultimate totalitarian, who can do stuff, who has enough influence, enough smart power to get things done. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down.
Welcome back.
The moon has come up, and long ago somebody...
All right, so speaking of chaos, magic, alchemy, game theory, scenario planning, and, imagination meets or is transmogrified into reality, the Dark Knight Rises scenario, the government shutdown stuff, you know, I wish it would. I wish they would. I wish they'd shut it down. I've maintained for years. If you listen to this broadcast for any length of time, I'm sure you know that I have maintained unequivocally every time we the people are threatened or menaced with the specter of government shutdown, I say shut it down. Let it shut down. Qui bono? Who benefits? The Blackwaters, the Halliburtons, you know, the special interests benefit if government is not shut down. They are the leaders in the first money game. They get it while the ink is still wet. And make sure that, you know, it's circulated until finally it makes its way to the, you know, the last, you know, the last car basically on the train, and the rest of us are injured by it. There are a lot of folks who have observed that, what is it, $3.7 trillion or so? There was a transfer of wealth, basically, without getting into the Marxist aspect of that whole conversation, which is definitely not my intent. You know, the general populace is $3.7 trillion less well off, and special interests are $3.7 trillion more well off. So a lot of that is accomplished by the fascist public-private partnership. So if government shuts down, oh my goodness, what will happen? I don't know. People will learn to rely on themselves and one another, which sort of hints at my point about firearms. I think for, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but owners, legitimate owners of firearms have an awesome responsibility. I think of Jefferson, you know, to his, what was it, his cousin on the best form of exercise. What is it? It's the gun, according to Jefferson. Stamps character on the mind. And firearm owners have an awesome responsibility when you think about it. I'm getting ahead of myself, but you think about all the hoops. You know, if someone is willing to jump through hoops for registration and all of those kinds of things, background checks, and that weeds a lot of people out initially. There are those who feel like that's humiliating and don't want to do it or whatever, and you can still purchase firearms on the open market in certain places and states and things. But that's being discouraged in a variety of ways. Think of the social media platforms, for example. You know, look at what YouTube did, the great purge of those kinds of channels, for example, over the last few years, you know, and the ridiculous nonsense about young, you know, boys pointing their finger. Look, he formed a gun with his finger. It's psychological conditioning. Anyway, legitimate owners of firearms have an awesome responsibility when you start thinking about it. I was just thinking about this recently. You know, if the people who are – it's a funny sort of cliche, basically. It is kind of humorous to find the most rabid, gun-grabbing person you can find that's not, you know, some public figure that is doing this probably because they're being influenced from behind the scenes. The average Joe – who's been conditioned to believe that we should just take guns from everybody except, you know, the authorities who should have them. I'm shaking my head. Anyway, you take the average person like that, you send them to the range and give them a little bit of safety training, turn them loose a little bit, put some, you know, some safety glasses and ear protection on them. And, you know, let them unload a magazine or two. And all of a sudden, it's like a different person. So many videos, so many stories have been made and told about this. It is a cliche at this point. Oh, nobody should have gotten it. Okay, well, you know what? Here's how you handle this safely. Put these on. Go ahead, give it a try. And the next thing you know, they're like, wow, I actually kind of enjoy this. But, you know, you go from that to, I think there should be a continuation of that. I think that's an interesting thing that happens. But for those people, you know, and now you say, all right, so this isn't as evil and awful. It's kind of like a hammer. You know, you can build things with a hammer, but you can also do some very destructive things with hammers, right? So now you know. You have a little different perspective. Let's take this a step further. And I wonder if there's a way that, you know, you could have somebody carry around a dummy or something that they could sort of learn what it means to be a person who, you know, maybe has, you know, gone through this process of, let's just say, being a legitimate owner of a sidearm, for example. And the awesome responsibility of carrying that around in public, what that feels like, especially with the culture that we have today that vilifies that. A person that wants to protect themselves, their family, their community. But it's an awesome responsibility, because there is also the thought that you don't want to have to use that, obviously. And so many things that go along with that. You know, if you get stopped in traffic for some reason or something happens and you have to say, hey, by the way, you know, that'll make a person sweat just thinking about it. If somehow, you know, you lose track of it and it's stolen and a crime is committed with it, you may be on the hook for that. If you defend yourself and for whatever reason it is determined, perhaps even by a jury of your peers, that, as we've seen historically, it can happen. But I think that's terrorism is theater, mostly. That someone can be convicted of some kind of, you know, malicious intent or something, the misuse of a firearm, you know, negligent homicide or something like that. It's an awesome responsibility. And I wonder what would happen if you take those people. I think, you know, Jefferson was right. I think he had a point. Those people, you, by and large, if you find those legitimate firearm owners, you will find, generally speaking, and it's never good to generalize, but I think you'll find, generally speaking, that those people are of superior character than most people, and integrity, for that matter, because they have to be to maintain that legitimate ownership. And I wonder what would happen if we took the average person who's been infected with the gun-grabbing mind virus and we said, why don't you know, put that person through the paces for a while. What it feels like to experience this on the other side of that perspective. I think it's an immature opinion in most cases that people hold when they think that way and speak that way. And I think it would be borne out, my opinion on that, if, you know, were they to be put through the paces that the average legitimate firearm owner goes through, not just, you know, to purchase something through conventional channels and not private party, but, you know, also to you know, just the regular day-to-day walking around in society. Different, completely different mindset. And I think, you know, Jefferson was right. Let me just grab that real quick and we'll go to the phones after this. We don't have time for the quote. But from Monticello.org, firearms. In 1785, Thomas Jefferson wrote to his 15-year-old nephew, that's who it was, I meant nephew, not cousin, Peter Carr, regarding what he considered the best form of exercise. I advise the gun. While this gives a moderate exercise to the body, it gives boldness, enterprise, and independence to the mind. Games played with the ball and others of that nature are too violent for the body and stamp no character on the mind. In fact, I would argue perhaps the opposite. Look what's going on in professional sports in America, for example. But, you know, and to this point, conversely, look at the professional shooting stuff. In contrast, I think there's a big difference. So anyway, continuing, Jefferson said, let your gun, therefore, be the constant companion of your walks. Walks were a lot more prevalent, I think, in that day. But I agree, and I wonder what would happen if most people were put through the paces of the legitimate firearm owner. Not just, you know, to purchase a firearm through conventional channels, but to walk in those shoes. I think it would change America. I think it would be one of the most radically transformative things that we could do, quite frankly. Because seriously, you start, instead of, you know, vilifying the person who has gone through the paces of, you know, standing in a level-headed, balanced sort of fashion, I would say in opposition to tyranny, really, in a lot of cases, it's pretty easy to see. Speaking of the, you know, the Benitez decision, there's no American tradition of limiting ammunition capacity. 10-round mag limit is unconstitutional. It's easy to see where this is going. You really only need one, and you should lock it up really tight, maybe in a Liberty safe or some other thing that's connected online where we can find it if we need to. It's pretty easy to see where it's all going. It's going one direction. So the person who is courageous enough to stand in opposition to that and say, I will do this, I will allow myself to be scrutinized like this, and then I will walk against the current of the crowd beast, essentially, which is being manipulated and influenced in Bernaysian fashion. And I will do it to protect myself, my family, my community, et cetera, et cetera. But in a very responsible, thoughtful, considerate sort of way, not in an agitprop, not in a Marxist, you know, Manchurian sort of way. It's, you know, that's a different thing. And I think that some people going through that experience would have a radical, transformative experience, and their views would be changed dramatically. Anyway, enough blah, blah about all that stuff. James in Vancouver, thanks for calling, sir. Welcome.
Yes, sir. Good morning. Good
morning.
Since the days of Tom Jefferson, we have a new style of war machine called the Apache helicopter.
Yeah.
And what we have there is the 100-pound Hellfire missile, which I believe these guys can fire this stuff out at 5 miles away. So you can have all the guns you want, but you got to have target acquisition, which is what I said to some presenters on this network, is how about portable radar? And they kind of wondered, well, what the hell is this guy talking about? But I believe that the government, since they've been so, how can I put it? They've been so, they have done this drone thing. That's another one we have now, drones. Yeah. They've used these drones so prolifically. There we are.
Safe. Forget about 5 miles away. We'll do it from Creech Air Force Base in a Costco container halfway around the world.
Okay, or we use a satellite. I get it. I'm just saying that because we've used all these weapon systems around the world, now these geniuses in the Pentagon are going to try it on us, you see.
Yeah.
So that the patriots who are living, say, outside in their abode where they think they've got everything, they've got their water and food and no one's around for miles, well, that's the perfect thing to hit with a Hellfire and then say, well, their gas oven exploded or something like that, you see. Back to you.
Yeah, I keep thinking of the quintessential soundbite is, what was the title of the book? I can't think of it, but The Next American Nation, that's it. The New Nationalism and the Fourth American Revolution by Michael Lind. The mm-hmm. concept of Brazilianization. So he says, you know, he basically said, what is happening has not led to Balkanization, as I have put it, but Brazilianization. And it's a toponym, which he defines as a high-tech feudal anarchy featuring an archipelago of privileged whites in an ocean of white, black, and brown poverty. And I was thinking earlier, speaking of your comment, when I mentioned Constellus, I thought maybe they should call it archipelago.
Can I offer a word?
Yeah, absolutely.
About the word carnalization. Society's become carnalized.
Yeah.
If you notice carefully, it's all too, like we're eating chocolate every day and all of that stuff and getting fat. And epistemologically, we're way behind the curve.
Yeah.
Because we've lost That's our imagination about what is out there. What do we know and how do we know it? There's my definition for epistemology.
Yeah.
And those are the issues that, we've been talking about it for probably at least 2 years now. And my question to you this morning again was, how many people do you know for sure have been killed by these shots? Do we have any numbers?
Yeah, and that's, absolutely. And like I've been asking lately, you know, what can we prove and how can we prove it, to your point?
Yeah. Well, because you see, if they've killed 1 billion, let's say that's a significant number. And again, they've got 7 years to go here or something for their little for their little plan.
Yeah.
You know, like you say, see you on the other side. So
yeah.
After a couple hours, I'll shoot you an email. How's that?
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Kylie.
Thank you, James. Much appreciated, as always.
Right. You too. Thanks.
It is just one big, fat Epicurean delight. My mom, you know, for quite a while, she used to, you know, she would say Wally every once in a while. Wally, the movie. So, anyway, back to the phones. Larkin, Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
I wonder if good old T.J. Jefferson ever played golf with Adam Weishaupt. Any indication? I wonder what kind of deals they struck. You know, a lot of great business deals are struck at golf courses. I was told that's the reason to take up golf years ago, because of all the cool deals and the intel you can gather, you know, from...
Maybe at the country clubs still, but at the private, or I mean at the public courses these days, I think the herd beast has taken over, and it's pretty insane. Not the same.
The reason for my call, though, is remind your listeners that, see, all law enforcement in America today, I mean all law enforcement, is communitarian. And it's happening with the soldier boys, too, in the military, because... Of course, we live under martial rule or military rule, which is to say that there's a line of demarcation, a hierarchical line, and people are on a need-to-know basis, just like the military. And I grew up as a military brat, so I kind of know this.
Yeah, but, speaking of the crowd beast, the bees and the ants... Anyway,
there was a thing called the broken window theory.
Yeah.
And then was born this thing called POP, which is probably...
It's a fallacy, right? The broken window fallacy.
Yeah. And then,
we
of course,
break more stuff for job security.
Well, but much of modern thought today is built on fallacy, let's face it.
Absolutely.
But anyway, the police all got together, you know, these confabs, and say, well, gee, what do you all need to protect your staff, your workers, you know? Well, you know, the boys in blue want to make sure they go home at night, and they want to get their paycheck on time, they want their benefits, and they want to collect their pensions. So that's when the military became, or excuse me, the police agencies in America became militarized, first with Patriot Act and the creation of Department of Homeland Security and the funding through the National Defense Authorization Act. And now we got this specter of what's called community-oriented policing today.
COPS, COP.
Yep. That's right. And basically what they call for is innovation and modern policing methods. You know, just like they went from the boys in blue to the men in black.
Yeah.
And now they've got things that you would see on a, you know, post-World War II battlefield, perhaps.
Yeah.
But, see, all the police departments and the sheriffs, it doesn't matter which law enforcement agency, they are caught up in what's called modern policing.
Yeah.
And
can I sum it up?
Well, sure.
So that's, I, you know, every time you say that, I think of the Israeli influence and, you know, we're getting the Palestinian treatment, the dehumanization, basically, and subjugation.
Well, yeah, we're all Palestinians now.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, just to conclude, all these false flags and stuff, it happened right here in Dallas, in Mesquite.
Yeah.
In that church there in a rural part of Texas. These are all staged events. Remember the five cops that were supposedly killed in downtown Dallas in the line of duty?
Yeah.
And some black guy with a Muslim name was supposedly killed by a drone.
Yeah.
Well, what people don't know is that there was over 200 seasoned Dallas police officers that resigned in the year to the run-up, in the run-up to that event.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wound up taking jobs in other police departments locally, thinking they could escape all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, what boy doesn't want to be a soldier of fortune, you know, or a spy?
Sure.
And so look at all this attachment to specware, to spyware.
Yeah.
Today, you know, and everybody wants, I mean, if you're in the military and you're not making the money that the mercenaries are making, boy, wouldn't you want to take your training and, when you leave your time in the service, join a mercenary group, because that's cool. And see, modern warfare, as it's emerging today, it's like another day at the office.
Yeah.
Because all you're going to have to do is just do your job, press buttons, relay messages, and your deal's done. And therefore, we get wedding parties blown up in Afghanistan or Pakistan or wherever that was.
Yeah.
But yeah, the entire system is one of gangsterism. It's organized crime, made legal, and we can't say this enough, because people do not know that they have been swept into living lives of organized crime, including the soldier boys and the boys in blue and so many others.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's sad,
but
we
need to remind our listeners of this all the time, Chris, because they don't know.
Yeah, that is a fact. And the crowd beast conditioning is basically sort of incapacitating the average person from even thinking or entertaining the possibility of the things that you just mentioned.
Yep, they're all dirty, Chris. They're all frenemies.
I appreciate it, sir.
Yep.
Unfortunately, we are at the end of today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.